All right, the Lord is good. If you believe it, give me an amen.
Amen.
All right, can we just quickly jump to our feet so we declare the word of God to start the teaching of the word together this evening. 1, 2, let's go. Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and is making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, that healing is real. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And I feel like emphasizing it today. As the word is coming forth, healing will come to you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
If your knee is disturbing you, your knees, today, healing has come to it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You came here, it was painful. By the time you are going, you will even forget. It's when you get home, you now realize that, this thing has gone. That's how the word works. You will receive that today in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
God will manifest the power of healing for you today as a result of the entrance of His word in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good. Let's take our seats. All right, the pursuit of God, that's what we have been looking at. We began that a few meetings ago, and we want to continue with that today. And I'd like us to take a text from the book of Romans chapter 4. The book of Romans chapter 4, please open your Bibles. When we finish reading this, I'll just review one or two things we said last time. Now, let me just, I think I should do my review first. What I just want to say, or let me just say what we are doing before we do the review. What I want us to just realize is that we have to follow God aggressively. That's what I want to say. We have to know what's important and pursue that. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and every other thing that you need in life will be added to you. I said this last time, let me say it again. People often miss the focus of those words of the Lord Jesus. For example, Jesus will say, give and it shall be given unto you. People will now say, now if you want to be given unto you, start giving. You have missed the focus of the Lord Jesus. You have missed the focus. His focus was not on receiving. His focus was on the giving. So if a man goes out to do the giving because he wants to receive, he will not get the power fully manifested because he has missed the focus of the Lord Jesus. Are you getting my point here? Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all other things will be added to you. He was not saying, seek first the kingdom of God so that the other things will be added. He was focusing on, please, don't worry about the other things. Focus on seeking the kingdom. The other things are those things that just come around along with it. They are never this target. But many people miss the point. They now say there are spiritual keys for having your need met. Start seeking the kingdom. Meanwhile, what they are actually seeking is the other things. The seeking of the kingdom is a method for them to get other things. Their hearts, their minds are still locked on the other things. They miss the point of God. Are you getting my point? And many times people look at scripture. They say, for God so loved the world that He gave. You see, anytime you give, you receive plenty. God had only one son. Now He has multitudes. They miss the point again. The point of the Lord Jesus was so that they would not perish, but have. It was not so that God can have a billion other sons. Please, you are getting my point here. So we must realize what God is really laying emphasis upon. And like my brother said in that meeting in Lokaf, we must emphasize what God is emphasizing. If you emphasize what God is emphasizing, then you'll be blessed. But if you don't emphasize that and you start emphasizing something else, you miss the power of grace. And that's why many of us are serving God and we are still frustrated. Why? Because we are saying this is the thing we are doing so we can have this other thing done. And God has given me a word for you this season. Forget the other things. Focus on the main thing. The people that God is interested in, He said they are the called, the chosen, and the faithful. It's not just that they know some principles, but they are faithful unto death to the Lord. They are faithful, even if God doesn't give them anything. That's what they are interested in, to be pleasing to Him. Like we declared at the beginning, He said, we want to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, to bear fruit in every good work, and increase in the knowledge of God. God is not a tool we use to meet our needs. We were created to serve him. And what is most important, what must be most important to us as believers is that everything we are doing is pleasing to him. It's not, God, what do you give me in return? I keep on saying this thing. I think people really need to have their brains washed from the opposite. The concept that, why do I go to church regularly so that God can give me a blessing? Forget going to church. Forget it. If that's why you are going. Why do you go to church regularly? It must be because it is pleasing to God. It must be because that is how I acquire a deeper knowledge of him. Next time, maybe, I don't know that next time, but very soon, I'll talk about the pursuit of knowledge again. The knowledge of God. It is not the knowledge of principles. It's the knowledge of God. And that, you find that is spiritual power. What you know is spiritual power. It's not just principles. It's just like Moses said to God, I want to see you. God made Moses pass by, he hid Moses in a rock and he passed. And what did he hear? He began to hear declarations of the name of God. And that was him seeing God. Are you getting my point? That is what God gave to Moses was a knowledge of him. He said, I'm God, the merciful God. He began to describe himself. And that was supposed to satisfy Moses. And like we'll talk about the names of God. We'll come back to these things again and again. All right? Well, we'll understand the name of God. An example I gave, you are raising children, always emphasize to them that the food they are eating is a gift of God. When they grow up knowing that God is provider, if they give thanks for an empty plate, food will show up inside it. That knowledge, spiritual knowledge is power. It's power. Now, please, I'm trying to say something here. So why do we go to church? It's to acquire the knowledge of God. Why do we do things? It's so that we'll be pleasing to God. It's not so that we can get things from him. Because I live in this country, and because, you know, sometimes you don't detect things from what's going on around, I am so convinced now that there was a reason why God said, of course, I always knew there was a reason why God said I should go to Enugu, right? I know, I always knew. But now I'm beginning to suspect some of the reasons. Like I said at the beginning, you walk around and you hear Christians talk, and just realize that if everybody talks like this, listen to this, I'm not joking what I'm about to say, all right? Now listen, it's a warning. You realize that if everybody talks the way a lot of Christians are talking, one day, you know, see, you heard all that noise in that was in the northeast, Boko Haram, wiping out villages, you get my point? Bomb blasts getting as far as Kano, all right? Even into Abuja, Bauchi, all those kind of things, Yola, all right? We had a lot of peace in Enugu, you get my point, okay? Now, but you know, there was a time, Abia State and Anambra State, they were very hot with kidnapping. Abia State was bad at the time, you remember. They embarrassed good Lord Jonathan in a good way because they kidnapped the whole busload of school children while he was attending the UN function. That was when he unleashed JTF on Abia State. If you remember that, okay? Now, do you know that time, Abia State, churches didn't even have offering again. Because there was nowhere to come and bring money to give. All doctors in town disappeared from Aba. Because they were kidnapping them one after the other, murdering them. The ones that were still alive disappeared. All of them came to Enugu, went to other places. Abia State was hot. There was no peace to him that went out or him that came in. Great vexation, according to the Bible. Now, I'm bringing up something. The way Christians talk like unbelievers, like ignorant people, if it continues and it reaches a climax, all these troubles I've described, we feel Enugu, we feel Oka, we feel Owerri, we feel everywhere east of the Niger. And then we'll continue where we began from, pointing fingers and blaming people. And if the rest of the country continues and joins, a time will come, we'll become like Syria, we'll become like Libya. It is not impossible. The devil is sowing the seed right now, and he's been doing it for a long time. It's just that some of us have been raised up to kill that thing before it germinates. It was when I listened to believers talk, I said, Jesus, was this what people were cooperating with? Listen, when you go to some of these places that are disturbed, they don't know they are responsible. Some of them are still pointing fingers that America came here to scatter us. We're at peace. People said all kinds of things. It was when America invaded Libya, problem because Iraq, problems began. Forget those problems are generated inside. The external forces that come to make it happen are just manifesting a decree of the Almighty. to fulfill the things that the people deserve at such times. What I'm trying to say, Christians have to be careful. And that's why I began to teach. We must pursue God. Forget. Look, one of the things I realized is that as believers, if your talk is not different from those who are around you, you are wrong. I don't need any other. That's all you need. You go to the office, they don't pay salaries, you say the same thing as the unbeliever around. You don't need prayer. You are wrong. The weather is bad. You say the same thing as the unbeliever around. Listen to me. You are wrong. You are a man. You go to work. Your wife annoys you. You respond the same way the unbeliever around responds. You are wrong. You don't need anybody to tell you. You are wrong. How do you know you are wrong? Because you have joined broad is the way that leads to destruction. Last time I heard pastors talk, I told you, talk to a friend of mine. I said, you are now a Massoud prophet. I hope you know that. I said, you are a Biafran prophet. That's what I told him. Is it right or wrong? I don't know. All I know is that I couldn't distinguish between him and the unbeliever in the bar. That is, if I went to 8 hours downstairs, exactly what he was saying was what I would hear. That is how you know you are wrong. People listen to you. You are a Christian. Then they go down to a bar where people are getting drunk, where women of easy virtues are hanging around, where smoke is in the air. They are smoking and they are dancing to all kinds of rubbish music. And they say, what do you think about the country? And they utter the same words that you are uttering. Shame on you. You should be ashamed of yourself. Listen, Christians, if you read on our website, what is Kingdom World about? It's a Kingdom World Ministries. The aim is to separate the church from the world through the teaching of the truth of God. Like I always give as my best example, a Christian wants to marry, he or she is using the same criteria concerning who will be my husband or my wife as a friend that's not born again, and you think you are going to heaven. Yeah, when you marry, that marriage is going to be hell. Because the God of heaven hasn't spoken to you. You have refused his counsel. Then how do you want to pray for his blessing tomorrow? Another thing I should tell Christians before I go into this message. Jesus said something which many of us overlook. He said, if you are ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father and his holy angels. I want you to understand, shame of him differs from place to place. Maybe amongst Muslims, you'll be ashamed to say you're a Muslim, a Christian, that don't kill you. That's one area. But right now, shame of him is this. You know the truth, but you're afraid to oppose people. That's you're ashamed of Christ. You can't open your mouth and say to people, this is the wrong way. I told you there's something, you know, there's a chat group I belong to, just the only one I belong to, where there's not a Christian chat group. And that's because they're my classmates, you understand? They're my classmates, just, you know, because we did our 25th anniversary last year, so they created a chat group to prepare for it, and the thing is still going on, and I'm a member. But one day, I told myself something, but even before I joined them, I noticed that 90% of jokes made about, that's 90, 99% of jokes made about marriage, go and check it, they are negative. No, go and check it. Just think about it now. Most of the jokes you hear about marriage, they are very negative. They are very negative. They tell you that one man said that, how have you sustained your marriage after these 25 years? He says, very easy. My wife and I go to the movies twice a week. He said, yes. She goes on Mondays, I go on Fridays. Are you seeing that? It's funny. Is the twist in it that's funny? But actually, he has told you that men and women, a man and a woman don't get along well. So when they are going to the movies, they go separately. They drop it in your heart. We laugh about all kinds of things. You understand? I read one today. Man said, a woman said, I should have married the devil. He'll be a better husband than you. Say, hey, wait. Oh. If you try that, they will put you in prison. She said, why? Because it's wrong to marry your relative. I read that one today. That is. Now, I'm going somewhere. They tell those jokes. And I found out that more than 9 out of 10 on the average, is negative towards the institution of marriage. So sometime last year, I told my wife then, You know, before, sometimes you get a joke, you show to people, you know, you share it. I said, henceforth, I'm not laughing about marriage jokes anymore. Are they funny? Well, the one I told now, it was funny. But I don't laugh anymore. If you told me that, I'll be looking at you like, are you all right? It's deliberate, though. I also think it's funny, but I just told myself, I will not laugh. What is wrong with it? I just said, look, why do I want to play, you know, let's joke about other things. In fact, one day, somebody dropped another joke like that. So I now responded at my class chat group. The fellow who told the joke said, why are you taking everything so seriously? I said, it's not about everything being taken so seriously. I said, it's a decision I made that henceforth, I won't laugh as you mock holy things. There is what is called holy. Are you getting my point? I told them, I said, have you noticed that you don't joke about your father like this, but you joke about your wife? I said, it's just a decision I've made to stop mocking holy things. Are you getting my point? There are jokes people crack. It involves God. I look at it. If it does not edify him, I calm the joke down. I don't laugh about it. I leave it. It's a deliberate thing. So that day, I just told my people. I said, why do we like to joke about important things like this? I told them straight. I'm talking about refusing to just follow everybody. I said, I know the response was not surprising. Yeah, what is wrong with you? Why are you taking everything so seriously? I said, for your information, I have been married for 17 years. And because that joke, there was a context with it, you know, so I can't even remember it now. I said, my wife is my number one fan. I've had a nice time in 17 years. Of course, there has been ups and downs, but it has been a wonderful time. And I said, do I have a witness? A chat group of over 100 people, I didn't get one. Yes, sir. Did you hear what I said? I said, do I have a witness? Not even the women came out to support me. Because that joke was mocking women. I noticed that everybody went flat. The only response of Banky, why are you taking everything so seriously? I told my wife, come and see. Can you see nobody gave me a thumbs up? That is the reason why I made up my mind. Next time you crack joke about husband and wife and it's derogatory, I don't laugh. It's a decision, not as if it's a sin. It has become a sin for me, anyway. I just don't laugh about it. I said, stop mocking holy things. Stop mocking holy things. Let's joke about the stock market, it's funny. Let's joke about MMM, it is funny. Another thing, my wife, if I think about it now, you crack jokes about the head of state, I don't laugh. If you say anything negative about the head of state, I don't laugh. I will correct you there and there. What is funny? Many people have seen the head of state has died. I've warned all of you that if you rejoice in your heart that a man is about to die, you will lose money. That's the best God will do for you. Because if he responds to you according to the intent of your heart, you won't like it. So I dare Christians, stand up and be different. You're in a chat group, they toss one of those jokes down and say, no, as a Christian, I'm sorry. The other day, one of my brothers, you know, he called me and, you know, we just discussed some things. That day, he said he belongs to a chat group, they are all Christians. And they had a kind of attitude towards the country. So I said, look, speak up, talk to them. So that morning, he talked to them. There was something I think I even wrote that he forwarded. Anyway, that morning, he talked to people. He now called me later. He said that he was so impressed. In fact, he forwarded some of their responses to me. That look at the way these people are responding. They said, what you have said is true. Because one person stood up and said, let me be different. But many of us, if everybody is yapping the head of state, we open our mouths, talk like unbelievers, and join. He said, you are the light of the world. There's nobody to give them direction. They are walking about in darkness. The light of the world closes his eyes and moves around in darkness like unbelievers. Thereby polluting the power for redemption that's in the atmosphere. And it's supposed to be the light of the world. Listen, it's time Christians stand up and be different. That's what I'm talking about. Speak up boldly. I like the prayer points that our brother Okemute took earlier. Let us pray for the head of state. A man traveled. They said, oh, he went for holiday. You think it is sick? If he is sick, is it not prayer he needs? There are Christians saying that he should die. And I feel so sorry for them. Even if your power of witchcraft is able to kill the man, you have sown a seed into your own destiny. Because if everybody gathers together and issues forth their spiritual power, people will die. That's why Jesus said that if you bind something on earth, it's bound in heaven. Christians can bind. Sometimes I look at some of our brethren who God has given the charge to evangelize the Middle East. I say it can't work until God changes the people that are leading the advance of the gospel into the world. Why? All you need to do is watch their TV. You know, the Muslim can never believe as long as the Americans are the one championing the gospel. The Muslim can't believe. There can't be revival there. It's not possible. Forget all these lies we're telling ourselves. They'll be sprinkling here and there. But when they tune the airwaves, come on, we lock down the power of God. I wrote an article about it then, which I called the limits of God. We say to them simply, God is a God of the Jews. He hates the Arab. He hates the Muslim. He has given the land to the Jews. And then you now say they should believe. If you were you, would you believe? You preach, if it was you, you would believe. Why don't we just open our mouths and tell the truth? That in Christ Jesus, there's no Jew or Gentile. Is that not what the Bible says? But we will say, no, the Jews are of God. I don't know where we just carry some lies, perpetrate the lies, and believe the lies. When the Bible, that scripture says clearly, if you're outside Christ, you're an unbeliever. And all the promises of God are only yes and amen in Him. All the promises of God are yes and amen in Him. But we don't preach it. I'm going to emphasize something here. What I'm going to bring out is that we have the power, all right, to hinder God from moving. And I'm saying right now, in this country also, we also have that power. And the way we Christians, except those of us that have light, stand up and lead those who are in darkness right, this country is not going anywhere. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. We are the light. We are the light. The only way your light is effective is you get up and shine it. Right now, most of the church is in darkness. This is the interesting part. They feel self-righteous, but they are as corrupt. In fact, they are more corrupt than the world. Why? Because corruption is not their nature. Are you getting my point? Let me give an example. Now, if me and a pig have the same amount of debt on me, who's debt here? Are you getting my point? If you see a pig rubbed with debt and mud and, you know, everything top to bottom, and me, I just have a quarter of that, who looks debt here? It's me. Because a piece of that has no part in me. So it stands out. In the same manner, right now, I think the church is generally more corrupt than the world. Why? Because corruption is not its nature. So, like I was in your house that they were discussing. If an unbeliever bypasses Nepal light so that the AC will not pay, they are of their father the devil. Is it not so?
Yeah.
When a Christian does it, he's a thief. God finds it more horrible. When a child of God does that, it is stealing. The same people will come out. Are you getting my point? And we're saying that what is wrong with APC? Are you mad? You are a thief. You're asking what's wrong with APC. The same people will come out and be preaching and making noise and pontificating against even the society. He's not paying NEPA bills. He's stealing. Let me not descend on the pastors this evening again. Who twists the scriptures? Anyway, God is... I told you, you know, Crepidola is in Lagos now preaching. I've heard a report of his messages. I was happy. The man who talked, it spoke that all these titans people are doing. Better relax, giving because he want to get. There's revival in the land. My friend called me. He said, Banky, everything you have been preaching, Crepidola is saying it right now. He said, coming from a man like him, a lot of credibility has been given to those truths. He said, I have to go. The next session is starting. Crepidola is in Lagos now, sharing the word. The Lord is good. What I'm trying to say, Christians, look, we're talking about pursuit of God. This is the season. We are not following God because we want to get something from Him. Let me say something to you. God owns you from the top to the bottom. Every breath you take is a gift from Him. every breath. One of the most interesting organs in your body, you don't realize it, is the heart. You know why? Of all the solid organs, it's about the first to be formed. By the time a woman knows she's pregnant, the baby's heart is already beating. That is why the church fights all these people that make noise about abortion. They say, you don't understand. There's a heart beating. It's not a piece of flesh that you don't like. There is a heart beating. Listen. Normally, by the time a woman knows she's pregnant, by date, all right, she's 6 weeks. Because you have missed her prayer for like 2 weeks. By that time, the baby has been there for 4 weeks, actually. The heart starts beating after 3 weeks. So the heart has been beating for at least a week before the woman suspects she's pregnant. Now, that's not the gist. The gist is that it never rests. If that fellow lives to be the age of 100, the heart did not rest for 5 seconds in 100 years. From conception. If you don't know why to worship God, I've given you one. You say, Lord, today I want to worship you. Say what? For heartbeat. And today's one is for the ones before I was born. No, I want to worship you today for the one before my mother knew she was pregnant. Father, we worship you. One whole week heart beating. Mommy did not even know I was there. We worship you and give you praise. What am I going to explain by all of these things? Because of my profession, sometimes it marvels me. It marvels me. I teach disease of the heart to every student I teach. I teach them that particular part of it, all right? And I said to them sometimes that it is not that the heart has a problem that's the issue. It's why it was working in the first place. That's what we should be concerned about. As for these problems, we can easily explain it. It should have problems. In fact, if I was one that designed the heart, it should fail after like 2 weeks. You call Odechukwu, come and fix it. This heart is not beating again. And it will be normal. And nobody will think I did a bad job. But it keeps working. There's a reason why I'm emphasizing this again. That is why we don't negotiate with God. And we will serve you, you will bless us. God say, eh? Hey, let's have negotiation. We'll start paying for it. Oh, I just want payment for the heartbeat before your mother knew you were there. How do we pay for that? It's not possible. The heartbeat, the breath we take, everything that functions in our bodies, believe me, we can't pay. He owns every bit of us. We don't give him 5,000 and we're asking for what will you bring back? Go see this 5,000. I'm still trying to check how to pay for one heartbeat. You are talking about what will I? We serve him with a willing heart. We pursue after him. We want to be exactly like him. Our greatest desire. You know, one day, I just remember something. One day in the morning, I think I was still lying down. My wife came into the room. She had gone out of the room. She came into the room. So I opened my eyes, looked at her, and smiled. She made a statement. She said, that smile is worth $5 million. Oh my God. Are you getting my point? She just saw the smile of a husband lying down. Are you getting my point? She just said, that smile is worth, I think she said $5 million. Let's say $1 million. She said, that smile is like $1 million. Just a smile. Whew, hallelujah. Who says I'm not rich? If they say, how much money do you have? I said, go and bring my wife. Let her count for you. I just look like this. She writes that that's $1 million. There was that count. Now, I'm going somewhere. Why did she say so? She was pleased. That was how she rested. That is, her body responded to a smile from her husband. I'm going somewhere. That should be the thing that is the desire of the life of a Christian. That the Lord looks in my direction and smiles. That's what I'm talking about. Why does he smile? Simple. He likes the way I handle that. Why does he smile? He likes the way I prayed this morning. Why does he smile? You know, there are things you do. God gets excited. In case you don't know, read your Bible. God gets excited. He says to Solomon, what do I give you? Solomon said, all right. God was waiting for the usual. I need a new car. The other king should not be richer than me. Protect my borders. I want to live long so I can enjoy these 1,000 women. Oh, yeah, I'm just joking. I didn't marry them that time. Are you getting my point? Give me all the finest wives in town. You know, Solomon learned that habit very early. You know, learned from his father. David was a bad guy in that area, all right? That area, till now, the Lord is embarrassed. Embarrassment. His first 5 sons born by 5 different women. That's the record. The Lord is good. The Lord was waiting for all of those things. But he didn't hear that. He heard Solomon utter something his father warned him about earlier, taught him about. He said, give me wisdom that your work might prosper. That's my own way of paraphrasing it. That your work might prosper in my hand. And listen to me, the Lord got excited. That was what excited the Lord. Some people say it's 1,000 burnt offerings. No. The 1,000 burnt offerings did not excite him. What excited him was that Solomon, I gave you a blank check. What do you want? Have you not seen money before? Have you not seen prosperity? Why didn't you ask for it? Solomon said, that one later. Please, let's ask for wisdom so we can be effective on the throne of our father that you have placed us on. A throne that was established by a covenant, the covenant of David. Ah, Solomon said, I beg. And God was excited. I want to understand that. God gets excited about things. He was so excited, he said, listen, I will give you that wisdom. But beyond wisdom, let me now start packing into your life things you did not ask for. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto you. There was a day also, another man, that was before that, Abraham excited God. God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love. You know, there's a way the Lord drilled the thing in. Take your son. Okay, I've heard. Your only son. Ha ha. The one you love. Oh, Barry, why are you drilling this thing in? You want me to kill the boy. Must you remind me of the attachment? What do I do? Go and sacrifice him. You know the story. Abraham went and did exactly as the Lord said. Now, many of us don't know. There are two depths to it. Two sides to it. One of them is deeper. One, that he obeyed God. Was good. Was really to. Most of all, Abraham was ready to give God anything. That is good. That is true. But that was not what fully excited God. What fully excited the Lord? He said that Abraham trusted me so much. I don't know whether you're getting my point. That even though I promised and I used the words, in Isaac will your seed be. He trusted me so much, he was willing to sacrifice that same Isaac, knowing that if necessary, I will have to raise him up from the dead. He trusted me so much that my word would never fail. If it was possible for God to jump up from his throne, he did. He said, because of this thing you have done, by myself, I have sworn. In case you don't know what God was trying to do, he was trying to say, I swear by Almighty God. The way you and I would do is say, God is my witness. You know, that's what we do. So God was about to say, I swear by Almighty God. He now realized that I am the Almighty God now. So he said, by myself, I have sworn. He was doing exactly what Abraham would have done. But because he was God, he swore by himself. The emphasis, Abraham excited him. Let me tell you the truth. That's the thing that must be the primary thing in your heart. You are doing the deal in the market with your neighbor, with your friend, your customer. You want to buy something. The issue is that how will I handle this deal? And the Lord will nod and say, that's my girl. That's my boy. That's the more important thing. We want to come and give testimony. Praise the Lord. The man thought he could cheat me. He doesn't know the kind of person I am. I say, okay. The kind of person. Say they have found out now. There's nothing like making God excited. It's possible. He can look at you and nod and say, me self, I get picking. I want you to understand that it is possible. It is possible. And it's in everything that we do. I've said it before, all this one that we deliver, okay, let's go and do something for God. You know, that's what we like to do, offering. Let me give you a special offering. Offerings are good. Somebody say amen. Yeah, the ministry, the work of God needs cash. But that's not what I'm talking about. Every day we make a decision, including inside traffic. There's a way you respond. And God says, yes, that's worthy of me. That's why Paul prayed that prayer. And that's why we declare it all the time. He prayed for the Colossians.
I pray that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects. Listen, that must be your target. That's what I'm preaching. That must be the target that we have as believers. That's why we talk the pursuit of God. No, it's not pursuit of God will give me something. Look, you have to get to a point in life in which you say, God, if you don't give me anything, honestly, I will never complain. And don't joke about that. Mean it. When, oh God, you know what they call spoiled children? When you say a child is spoiled. Yes. Many of us Christians, we are spoiled. We don't know the value of what we have. You know, a spoiled child can take an expensive phone. Father annoys him. We just fling it against the wall. In the same manner, many of us Christians, we don't understand the value of what we have. When I pray in all, in fact, my wife doesn't understand the way I pray sometimes. But she's gotten used to it by now. But I really mean it. Sometimes I'm in my car, music is playing, or message is playing, I want to pray. I just shut off the player. I say, hey, Lord, there's something I want to talk to you about. And believe me, the Lord answers you. If I tell you this testimony, you're going to laugh. It's a very funny testimony. One day I was sleeping. My wife said, I should come get up and come and kill cockroach. And you know the way it is, you are sleeping. You want to sleep. I got up, I went to use myself. And I said, look at cockroach. It flew across just now. That I felt it. So I put on the light. Hey, look at it. Actually, it was a big cockroach. And I wanted to sleep. I didn't know how to tell my wife that, baby, can we look for this cockroach in the morning? I actually want to sleep. So the cockroach ran under a cot. We have a cot in our bedroom. So I bent down to look for the cockroach. I couldn't see it. So I lifted a book. I have a big book there. So I lifted the book up. And I prayed. I said, Lord, please, send the cockroach to me. I'm not joking. 2 seconds later, the thing came out. I ran under the book. I dropped the book on his head and went back to sleep. So my wife came back to the room and said, hey, did you find the cockroach? I just nodded and I continued sleeping. God answers prayers. That's what I'm trying to explain to you. He answers prayers. That's how easy it is for us Christians to approach the Lord. He answers prayers. To approach God, I've told the story here a few times. My wife and I once were watching TV, and we saw the way Hindus try to approach him. And a Hindu man wants to achieve what you have received freely. And he puts himself inside a situation. Like, say, I will not sit for 12 years. We saw these things on TV. And a man will be standing for 12 years. He said, does he not sleep? Oh, sitting means he's not lying down also. So for 12 years, he's in an upright position. Say, how does he sleep? He hung a pillow from the ceiling. Time to sleep, he will lean on it like this. With his chest. And sleep. 12 years. The other one put up his hand and said, I will not bring it down for 12 years. And by the time we were watching the program, the hand had been up for 11 years. That one too had not sat for over 10 years. They had a few more months to go. Many people look at these things and say, these people are crazy people. I like one thing Sadhu Salvaraj said. The same thing Sundar Singh also said the same thing. That the problem, in fact, Sundar Singh was on that same when he went to UK. He said they look at those in India, because they are Indians, as if they worship many gods. He said, yes, it's true. Indians worship many gods, but Europeans worship themselves. To him, I'd rather be in a place where I know there are spiritual things than these kind of people that don't know anything. They just move around in blindness. When those men got to know Christ, they appreciated Christ too. Because, like Moses said, which nation has a God so close? We even have him closer. Are you getting my point here? Christians even have him closer. When I see some things Christians try to do, they call Christianity. I laugh. All the 70 days fasting they do, me? Do I look like it? It's a sin for me to try that kind of thing. God will be so angry with me. Say, Banky, what are you fasting for? He said that we are declaring 100 days. I'll be looking at them like this. Make up your mind. Are you a Hindu or a Christian? Make up your mind. Look at it. Some people do 3 days dry fasting. You're a sinner. Only sinners do that. You must be thoroughly confused and walking in iniquity for 3 days to pass. And you won't eat, you will not drink because you want to seek the face of God. You are confused. You are not spiritual. You don't know anything. Okay, when you find, okay, what now happened? Nothing. Your problem was there. You should have come to see me. I'll give you 2 scriptures. You read it over that problem for 1 week. It will go away. Our sister, she's not around now. She said, as a little girl, she fasted. Say 3 days and 3 nights she was fasting. Israel, was it me and you? Okay, yes. We had a good laugh. At the age of 12, I said they should have called police for your father and your mother. Said my father did not know. What were you trying to achieve? He said it's prayer. At the time, she said I was so weak. Angels came and fed her. Not a joke. When she described it, I wanted to make a joke. I said, describe that again. When she told me, I said, oh, you don't know what happened. You were weak unto death. So God sent angels to come and give you food. She said, I never told anybody till today. Because they will say, witches have come. And that Christians, they could not even recognize angels. I said, for what? Listen to me. I don't have time to go into it. Those things are not Christianity. When we want to approach God, the Bible says we are approaching with what? Boldness. That is why I have the same access to his presence anytime. I just switch off my radio in the car. I say, Lord, there's something I was supposed to talk to you about. I'm driving. Oh. Lord, let's talk about this. And I know he's hearing me clearly. He even gave a promise before you call. If you think you are going to fast to get God to hear you, you are joking. Better go and eat something. You will just die in the process and nothing will happen. Listen, nothing. Your enemies will still be alive because God said they will be alive anyway. Because it, no, it's true. Why are they laughing? I'm telling the truth. He said he prepares a table before me in the presence of mine. They don't have to die. God is not afraid of them. They don't have to die. They don't have to die. My enemies, this year you will die. If your God is powerful, prosper. If your God was really powerful, he should prosper you in their presence. They will know who has power. Why the one telling me that one day one girl went and said a cult boy slapped her on campus, and the pastor, a former cult man, he took the girl and said, what? A cult boy slapped you? Put the girl in the car, drove down there. Where is it? They got there. Say, where's the boy? Said, that's him. He went there, said, slap him. The girl do like this. The man said, I will slap you now. I said, slap him. So the girl was the cult boy, heavy one. The man looked the boy. If I catch you, told the girl, let's go. That's a powerful man. He just told the girl, slap him in my presence. And the girl slapped the boy back. Said, now let's go. That boy got the point. He got the point. If your God cannot prosper you while your enemy is alive, he's not God. You should go and get another job. If he can't prosper you while your enemies are alive, he's not God. Some of these prayers that we are praying so that our enemies will die, they will not die. They don't need to die. They don't need to die. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I wish Christians would pray better prayers. Anyway, what am I saying about these things? These are the things that God has done for us in Christ. Please, I'm trying to amplify something in our hearts. You've heard me say it several times. Many times here before, I say it all the time. I don't pray against witches. I don't pray against wizards. I don't pray against enemies. I don't have their time. I don't. The only prayer I pray against them is simple. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from doing evil, which was what Jesus said. I must not do evil. I must not be tempted by the devil. We'll talk about the pursuit of knowledge later. I will pursue knowledge so that I will not be, deceived by him. That's all my prayer. People pray at night. They say, dream at night. I dream that I ate in my dream. You know, imams are funny. If dreams exist, then anything you do in real life, you should be able to do in a dream. And let me say to you, I'm not teaching it now. Most dreams are nonsense dreams. There are two kinds of dreams. There are meaningless dreams, and there are revelatory dreams. Dreams are revealed. Most dreams are nonsense dreams. And it's in the Bible like that. That sometimes a hungry man sleeps. He dreams that he's eating. He wakes up, behold, he's still hungry. That scripture I just quoted for you. So God knows that people can dream all kinds of dreams. Yet Christians will be pursuing every little thing they see in dream. They are pursuing. A lot of dreams are useless dreams. A lot. Yes, they are revelatory dreams. God has revealed things to me in dreams before many times. For me, most of them have been correction. Stop talking like that. I wake up, I knew what he was saying. I will just remember that scene. Something that just happened in the dream. Instantly, I know the correction. I fall in my head right now. Correction, each one of them. No evil spirit can harass me. That's what I'm trying to explain. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. This is what Jesus has done for me and for you too. I have never prayed in my adult life. All the witches are against me. You will not get me. My prayer is that if you are strong enough, come. If you can cross my fence, you are not a witch. I've told you my bat dream many times. My bat experience. Bat appeared in the room, air conditioner on, doors closed, mosquito net everywhere. Yet a bat flew across my room. I told my wife that day, you're very lucky that you are not married to an MFM pastor. You for pray this night, in fact, only prayer. You and your children, I will starve all of you for 3 days. But my wife, having the same spirit of God, just said in passing, oh, see bat. I said, oh, where is it? And that bat at that point flew into the wardrobe. And I closed the door on it because we had visitors. When I came back up, I opened the door, trapped the bat into a basket. I said, please help me throw it away. It missed its way. God in heaven knew that my wife didn't think we should pray about it. I most certainly was not going to pray about it. It was not a prayer point. It's a bat. There's a world of difference between bats and prayer points. A bat is an animal. It flies. A rodent that flies. Did I pray about it? For what? I have found scorpions before. There was a day I was sleeping when I was in Transekulu years ago. And an angel, I guess, just woke me up. Say, wake up. There's a scorpion right above your head. Didn't see anything. All of that, I just opened my eyes and I saw a scorpion right on the ceiling above my head. If it drops, it drops on my head. That part of Transekulu, scorpions. I don't know whether you ever live near that area. Plenty. Plenty diarrhea. You know the truth, I just got up. I wonder, you know, insecticides, good ones can kill scorpions. I just sprayed it in, carried it, threw it away. It was not a prayer point, it's a scorpion. It's a scorpion. I as well explain it, it's not a witch, it's a scorpion. And when you see scorpions near your house, you kill it. Throw it away. You don't start praying. In the name of Jesus, they came to get me in the afternoon. They will not get me. The ones at night, they will not succeed. They knew before. Why are you making all this noise? Oh, what am I talking about? These are the things that God has done for us in Christ Jesus. He gives us confidence. We are not afraid of tomorrow. That is why we can serve him. That's why I'm going with all the talk, just to make this statement. We can serve him with a whole heart. He has been too good. That's what I'm explaining. He has been too good. He has done so much for you. He has done so much for me. We don't negotiate with him. Say, God, I will do this so you can do back for me. God said, when I was doing all of these things, where were you? That's what I'm trying to preach. Please, people of God, follow hard after him. Enough of using him as a method of getting things. He doesn't need all of those things. I told you, many of you have been fasting and fasting and fasting, and God has not yet answered. Do you know why? You want to guess? He wants you to eat. I'm not joking. They say, in heaven, they say, Lord, he has come again. Say, who? Say, okay, Mote. Say, what does he want again? Say, has he eaten? He said, no. He said, leave him there. Please, my message to you today, tell your neighbor, go and eat. You say, why am I saying that? I'll tell you. Because God said, if I answer you in this hungry state, we are going to share the glory. Yes, that's it now. We are going to share the glory. You are going to say, praise the Lord. On the fifth day of the fast, I say, oh, Pari. Meanwhile, on the first day. So God said, that's why I've not answered. It's not because the fast is a problem, just that the way I'm looking at you, I need you to eat first. Before I answer you, so I can collect my glory complete. I'm not sharing it with anybody. The only thing I wanted to say is that I cried to the Lord and he heard me. I don't want any other thing. You see, then I now put the fast, we now stopped. Initially, I was drinking. I said, no, this is not serious enough. I went off water. You are a Hindu. You are getting my point here? It's Hindus that do such things. We also do it when we mix Hinduism with Christianity. Believe me, if you understand God, there's liberty in Christ Jesus. There is. I like what Okemu has been teaching on radio. Fasting versus starving. Most Christians have been starving. Thank you, man of God, for delivering them. But I'm saying all of this to let you know, God has done so much for us. We don't need to go on, you don't need to lift your hand up for 1 year before he listens to you, before he can approach his throne. In fact, he comes down by himself. He used to come into the garden and talk to Adam and Eve. He is the one that will come down. Many times he has revealed himself to you. Many of you listening to me, you know the first day God revealed himself to you, you were even sad, you were unhappy, you don't even know what's going on. And he sent an angel to guide you. He didn't do anything. We owe him too much. We can't negotiate with him. That's what all of this I'm saying. That's what I'm going to emphasize. We owe him too much. We can't negotiate with him. He owns us from the top of our heads to the soles of our feet. Let us serve him with a whole heart. I know I'll sound like a broken record, but I'll say it again. When you want to give money, derive joy from the giving process. That's how to serve God. Don't give money because you are afraid that if you don't, something bad will happen. That sacrifice is not acceptable to him. It's an insult, actually. Hey, is the tithe complete? If it's not complete, life will be tithe. Those are sinful words. Christians should not utter them. A lady wrote, he said, can I send my first fruit to you people, Kingdom World Ministries? Said, my pastor is not collecting it. Ah, sister, why now? Said, the man said it's not complete. Okay, why is your first fruit not complete? He said, last January, I gave it complete. Pastor, the kind of suffer where I suffer for February. She said, I didn't have money to transport myself to work. So this year I said, be wise. All I have removed is transport money for 1 month. Said the pastor said it is not complete. So please, can I send it to you people? You know, how many of you remember there's one of these African writers series? Wait, Ezulu, there's one traditionalist thing. He refused to give instruction to go and harvest yam. Ah, so the Reverend Father said, no problem. You can bring it to church. And if you can give a God that's not a true God, one tuba of yam, where they're supposed to give one tuba, the first one you harvest. Reverend Father said, this is good. He said, you bring to the true God too. So a lot of villagers became Christians. Because this is what Zulu they do. I don't understand. My family is starving. That was what our dear sister wanted us to do. He said, Pastor, can I send it to you people? We sent her a reply. I said, please, ignore your pastor. Whatever you have, put in an envelope. Don't talk with him. Go to the offering basket. Put it there.
Now listen. I'm just saying all of this to let us know that look, God is not like that. Any offering you are giving to him under this duress, he does not accept. He doesn't accept it. This is Christianity. God loves a cheerful giver. Must be happy when you are doing it. If he's paying you, leave it. So you must give God something that pains you. That one is not acceptable. Once he's paying you, leave it. You never reach that kind of level of offering. I'm not joking about that. Once he's paying you, please leave it. You have not reached that level. So I should only give that which is convenient for me. Don't mix the things I'm saying up. Listen, if you give me ₦1 billion today, and I give out ₦1 billion, it does not pay me. Even if I don't have a kobo left after, I have reached a point in life, just through understanding, that money is nothing. So it doesn't pay me. When I pay my children's school fees, it does not pay me. When I pay my landlord, does he pay me? So if you are giving to what you call giving to God, it's still paying you. You see, have a problem to solve. It's not the money that's your problem. I don't know whether you're getting my point here. So that's what I mean. I don't mean that you only give things that they are of no value to you. No, that's not what I mean. That's not what I mean. What I mean is that if you are still at the level where you are checking it, if I give the Lord this one now, forget it, you have not reached that level. Don't bother doing it. Get to a point in your heart where whatever you do, you are glad. I'm talking about serving God with a whole heart. That's what I'm talking about. Serving him with a whole heart, a joyful heart. You are excited to do it. That's what I'm talking about. That's how we give to God. It's that joy. Let's say, the gospel is being preached somewhere. Yeah, praise the Lord. In your heart, too. Father God, thank you for the privilege of working with you. Amen. Now a little way, we are spreading the gospel. It's a privilege. Thank you. If you bring more money, we'll give some more money. If you give us anything in return, it's your own. We are just happy to be your servants. That is what I'm preaching. The Lord is good. That's just to emphasize to us why we are doing this series. Let's now get to today's message. Romans chapter 4. I know why you're laughing. You're laughing at me. Like I said, no, I wasn't joking when I said that, even though it's a bit time, it sounds like a joke time-wise, but I wasn't joking. I was just trying to remind us of why we are doing this again. Why we are studying the Word of God like this. Because Christians must understand, let's leave this joke we crack sometimes, what we call the service of God is not good. Last year, we taught a series which is titled True Service of God. Please, if you were not here, I want to recommend you get that CD. I think Israel is still available with the book. Please, get a copy of the book, How to Work for God, together with the CD. The messages, there are like 13 or so, or 16. Is it 13 or 17? 16 messages. All right. But quite a number of messages, okay, together with the book. We just released the book late last year, How to Work for God. Please read it. It will help you understand what it means to work for God. Like I said, we're not doing things for God because we're trying to get from him. We just want to be what he created us to be. We want him to look at us and give us a smile. That well done, good and faithful servant. That's the greatest thing you should want from the Lord. Well done, good and faithful servant. Very important. All right, the Lord is good. So last time when we were speaking on this subject, let me continue from that particular point. I emphasized something. We're reading from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. We'll read from this Romans chapter 4 now. From that 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter said that what is most important is genuine faith. That what God is drilling out of our lives. Let me go over that again. That's what I said, I will review. What God is drilling out of our lives is what? Genuine faith. Please, let me just emphasize it again. Let's read it. I think we should read it. It's important. 1 Peter chapter 1. We read it last time. I think we should just read it again. We'll just start from verse 3. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and which will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Now, sorry, I want to get down to the main thing I want. Verse 6 says that, He said, in this you greatly rejoice, that's salvation. Even though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, or literally the genuineness of your faith, be more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Let me just stop here. Now, why I read that, we start from that verse 3. The specific verse relevant there is verse 7. He said that the thing that's more precious than gold is genuine faith. So what God is looking for, we talked about that last time, as our faith is being tested, is the genuineness of faith that is precious. We explained that many things exist in this world that have value. In today's day, all right, we have cash, all right? You can have money in an account. You can have an investment. You can have a building. You can have a house. You could have bought land. You could have made investments in different areas. But what is most precious in this earth of today, all right, physically speaking, is still gold. It's still gold. Gold is where people still try and store value, all right? And that gold is being tested, purified, so that it does not get destroyed. Nothing, if you have gold physically on this earth, nothing can happen to it apart from somebody else may steal it. That's all. And the value has held strong over the centuries. Gold has held its value. It has held its value. It's been the most stable way to keep money, all right? But Peter now said, even that gold, even though it's been tested, purified 7 times, tested though by fire, he says it's still perishable. It's still perishable. That's what I'm going to emphasize. But he says there is something that is more precious than gold that is perishable. And that is your faith. And let's just understand something. We are spiritual people. We Christians. We know that this physical earth is not all there is to it. There is a spiritual aspect to it. What does that mean? That what we are saying is that that thing which is spiritual is real. Is real. We must understand that. So if you have to go for something that has value, by faith, we understand that we must go for genuine faith. People in the world, they go for material things. Somebody wants to, he has a choice. Should I stay in Enugu or go to Lagos or go to Abuja or go to New York or go to London? Somebody will say, okay, where do you get more money? So he goes for it. The job I'm being offered in London is going to give me £10,000 a month. In today's naira, that's 6 million naira every month. Say, wow. That makes me very rich. In a year, I have built a house, I've done everything. But he never asks, how will my faith improve? Are you getting my point? But somebody of faith says, okay, I have Enugu, I have Lagos, I have Abuja, I have London, I have New York. First thing is that, where is my faith going to be most, sustained? Where will I sustain my faith? That's the first thing. It's not just jumping up and down. You know, the way we behave. Hey, I want to go have my kids abroad. Why? Let me give them a chance. I've said it again. Christians, listen, don't talk nonsense. Stop talking nonsense. There are statements you make, the Lord says you are not serious. Imagine the Lord looking at you. You know, there are times, I've talked to people before. You say you've done it. Somebody said you are not serious. The Lord will look at you and say you are not serious. And so you kneel down to pray. God, say, get up from there. Stop embarrassing everybody in heaven. You are not serious. You say your child born abroad is a chance you are given in life, and you say you are a Christian. Yes, you are a Christian, but you are not a believer. A Christian by denomination, by political association, but you don't believe anything. If you have not read my book, He That Believes, please get a copy. It's free. It's on our website. You can download it and read it. That's what I tried to explain in that book. A believer must believe something. There are times people talk, you know, they don't believe anything. I'm going to try and start that message today. Of course, because of time, I'll complete it next time. Because they don't believe anything. As a believer, you talk, you reason with faith. 5 choices. Which one do I pick? The genuineness of faith is paramount in your heart. Because you are a true believer. For you, faith has more value than money. We know the story in the book of Revelations. We quote it all the time. 2 churches there. One of them, the Laodicean church. And let me explain something to you. What the Lord says is the truth. It's not how you feel. What the Lord says is the truth. It's not how you feel. The Lord Jesus looked, he said, I know your poverty, materially speaking.
He said, but let me tell you something. Let me let you into a secret. You are actually rich. Why? They had genuine faith. He said they were rich. There's another church, very, very materially rich. He said, but these people are poor. You said I'm rich and I have need of nothing. He said, but you don't know that you are wretched and you are miserable. You are poor, you are blind, you are naked. That was how he described them. These are not matters you will experience when you get to heaven. One day on this earth, it will be shown to you that you are poor. You know, it's interesting. Just a good example. Steve Jobs, you know, speaking in the tech world, business world, was a wizard of some sort. Built Apple up from the scratch again after when he came back. Till today, they alternate with the Alphabet company, which is the most capitalized company in the world. As in, right now, it's still running Apple. By the time Steve Jobs was dying, Apple had $100 billion in cash. Not investment, not value of the company. Money that they banked. Yet, God wanted to show him that money is nothing. He could buy the best healthcare in the world, but they could not keep him alive. The money was there. He had a dangerous type of cancer of the pancreas. The best doctors in the world, they used the most advanced medicines for him. The cancer spread to the liver. They removed the liver. Gave him a new liver. Yes. Took a liver from somebody and said, you don't need your liver again. Come on, a rich man wants to die. You're talking about, come on, give me liver. I don't know whether it was a cadaveric donor or somebody just cut half, because liver can be split. They can remove part of somebody's liver. Let me have it and give somebody else. Yeah, really, really. Now, that's what they did. Did the best medicines. At the end of the day, the man died. You know what God was saying? Money cannot keep you alive. Doctors can't keep you alive. Nothing can keep you alive. I'm the only one that keeps people alive. God just one day said, let me show to you that you are not as rich as you think. That's what I'm saying. These are real things. If God says to somebody, you are naked, it means with all your money, I will make cold kill you. You will be so rich, cold will kill you. I mean, there was an avalanche. So is it France? Sometime last week. Italy. Now, in case you don't know, it was a luxury hotel. Only rich people were lodging there. Then cold came and killed them. If God says you are naked, he's not joking. No? He's not joking. He will prove it to you one day. And you know these angels, they can be very, very interesting. You know angels? There are different kinds of angels. There are nice angels. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. They are nice ones. There are some angels who are talking about. You look at the whole Joshua, servant of God, following God with the whole heart, following God fully. Joshua asks you, are you on our side or against us? He said, I don't care about anybody. It depends on you. Which side are you on? Some angels are like that too. They don't have time for anybody. Some of them, you don't know whether they are devils or they are angels. Except that the Bible calls them angels. Otherwise, you would have thought they were the devil. How do I know? Ask the Egyptian. Ask the Egyptians who went into their homes and took the firstborn in every household. Ask David. When he saw an angel hanging up there with a sword in his hand, there are all kinds of angels. So when God wants to prove to you you are naked, you will have one of those wicked ones. According to Apostle. You remember that Apostle? Yes. He said there are some angels. He said the angels that guard him, they are on drugs. He said, my angels, they smoke Igbo. Some man of God that came to town and said that. So when God wants to prove to you that you are naked, you have one of them sit down and freeze you. They'll be blowing cold on your body. Only you will see them like this. Everybody will be wrapping you with cloth, heating up the room. The angel will be blowing cold. Oh, the Lord is good, though. What am I going to say? When the Lord says that you should go for gold that does not perish, please go for the gold that does not perish. Because one day in life, he will let you see the difference between gold that perishes and the one that does not perish. I said to you last time here, there are people that God consults before he does anything on the earth. That's not a joke. There are people he talks to. Some of them, he literally would come as they are praying. He would drop thoughts in their hearts. Some he will, I'm not joking about this. Some he will physically appear, take a chair, and say, sit down, let's talk. I want to handle this situation. This is how I want to handle it. What do you think? There was something Carnegie used to say in his days, very interesting. If he enters your house, and you now start running kiddie, maybe he's staying, because those days, they used to stay in hotels much, they stay in the homes of people when they came to minister. He stay in a person's house, you now start running kiddie, they say a child died. He will tell you simply, it's not possible. You will look like, what? It's not possible. If a child was going to die in this house, the Lord would have had to tell me first. So that child is not dying. Forget it. And he wasn't joking. They told him a girl got missing. They were supposed to come and visit that home. He told them, no, the girl is not missing. She missed her bus. She'll be home. The grandmother said, did the Lord speak to you? He said, no. Ah, they're like, oh, I thought the Lord spoke. He said, no, wait. The Lord does not have to speak. The fact that he said nothing is why I'm telling you this. Because I'm staying in your home, he will never allow this calamity into your home while I'm around if he doesn't tell me ahead. He told a man that had diabetes. So the man always checking his urine, checking urine. He said, what are you doing? The man said, I have diabetes. And he was staying in Kenny Higgins' house. Kenny Higgins said, listen, while you are in my house, you will not have diabetes. When you leave, you can have diabetes. Till the man left his house, his urine was constantly negative for sugar. What I'm telling you, look, so we're talking about, those are things that are valuable. One day, one of our sisters, she gave us a testimony. She was at an airport. And one man was there just, you know, chatting her up, just talking with her. So in the course of gist, she told the man that I'd never been to a party, a nightclub and all of that. And the man was looking at her like, you don't know anything in life. What have you seen? I should take you around, that kind of thing. So she just got provoked and told the man, have you ever laid your hands on the sick and they recovered? Have you ever, as a demon-possessed person, come into your presence and they hush? Have you told a demon to fly out and they disappear because you spoke? He said, what do you know? You have not seen life. I'm the one that has seen life. The man was humble because he went to party. The man was describing party that he has gone to. He went to party in London. He went to party in Abu Dhabi. He went to party in Dubai. He went to party in, of course, Nigeria. He has been to party in his village. He has been to party in Lagos. He has been to party anywhere. He just harassed this. My sister, they look at him. My sister said, nicely, I beg, me, I never go all of these ones. Ah, you have not seen anything. What have you seen? Have you seen evil spirits? People like you, and I'm adding words now. People like you will be crawling to which doctor to do juju for you as you are passing up and down. Me, when which doctor see me, they run. Say, what have you seen before? Airport, to the way we were sitting at the airport. By the time he was done with the man, come give your life to Christ. The man had to agree. I'm not joking. Give your life to Christ. You are here talking nonsense in my presence. Listen, with all the money some people have, maybe called, you know, I have seen. Oh, let's talk about real faith. Things that matter. There are people I knew at the time, all right? Some of them, the person I have in mind, was the MD or anyway, CEO or one of Nigeria's big 5 oil companies in Nigeria that time. Or chairman, one of those things. Yet, I saw the Baba that controlled his life. One imam. I'm not joking. These are the people that would tell them, don't travel, they will not travel. I'm telling you the truth. So you see some men out there, shout as if they are rich, they are big. One poor man that doesn't speak a word of English will tell him, don't travel. He will not travel. He will tell him, fire your cook. He will fire his cook. Some of them will be told, sack your wife. And they will. Who is richer? Yes, you see him coming to the office making noises, the MD or chairman of a company worth $2 billion. And you are envying him from outside. If you see the man who's controlling him. I told you, I serve God with all my heart because I know what he has delivered me from. A prophet, even a Christian prophet, will check before he tells me anything. A real prophet. Which I told you one day, my mother called me in the morning. And he said, "How is everybody?" I said, "Fine." They said that Gio said that they shouldn't wear red that day. You know, this was about 3 years ago or 4 years ago. How many of you remember that story? I told my mother, "I don't care what the Gio says. My children have gone to school. And if red was in their uniform, they have gone. And if I was planning to wear red today, I will wear it. The Gio cannot tell me not to wear red." He said, "I know that's how you would." I said, "Then why were you calling me in the first place?" Later on, the Redeem now released a statement that the Gio never said it. I said, "I didn't care. If he said it, I would disobey it." Even Christian prophets check before they tell me anything. How much more unbelieving prophets? What have they not prophesied? I'm talking about being rich. Some of the men you see, if you see the people that control them, that's why Jesus looked and said, he said, you are not rich. I've seen rich people that build rich houses, but they don't sleep there. Because prophet said, you have to be sleeping. Labeabo. Those of you who speak Yoruba, you connected that one. They say you have to come under cover. Yes, no. Some of you are still going to white garment churches. Although white garment churches are out of vogue. Now, they're still in vogue. All of them have bought suits. Because white garment doesn't sell again. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Listen, real prophets, they have to make sure they hear God before they talk. Otherwise, I don't listen to them. As I'm talking about real substance. Yes, some men say they are rich. You see who's controlling them. Because they are actually not rich. Jesus said they are miserable. I have seen them before. Miserable. One of my colleagues those days said there's one man, he has a chronic sore in his leg. I said, but this one should be treated with, we all know how it should be treated. Said the man said, lie, he's not going to hospital for surgery. Because he's so afraid that if he goes under anesthesia, he will not wake up alive. Yet, this was a big oil dealer in worry. When Jesus says some people are miserable, believe it. They literally are miserable. And one day they will know that they are miserable. So he says to those of us who are believers, say, go for real wealth. When you want to make your choices, stop letting perishable things determine what will happen to you. Faith is what we are talking about. He said it is the genuine faith that counts. It's the genuine faith. I ended last time by saying something. You know, today I began to say that Christians should stand up and tell the truth and be the light and differ from the people around them so that the people walking in darkness will see a beacon of light. Many of them don't know better. They don't know better. You can't afford to follow them. I spoke to a class of medical students just 2 days ago. I noticed that my words were dropping on them like dew. And I was just correcting them on simple things like the school bought chairs for them. And I saw the chairs were spoiling because students will leave them out. They are reading outside. They leave it there. Rain falls on it. Dew falls on it. And they are made of plywood. So they start disintegrating. It pained me. I began to give them lecture on how to handle life. It dawned on me that the words were dropping on them like dew. I even corrected boys. You know the way young boys like to gather and laugh at girls. I said, next time you see a guy doing like that, always taking pleasure in yapping young women, when you see him, tell him poverty. They were like, they laughed. But what is the poverty? What is it? I said, listen, he's sowing a seed for poverty. That is called reproach. What a man sows, he shall also reap. That when you start sowing reproach, a woman passes you, yap her head, yap her skirt, yap her eyes, yap her head, do yap everything. You are sowing reproach. The worst reproach in a man's life is poverty. When God wants to repay you with reproach, he gives you poverty. 15 years later, you don't know why everything you are doing is not working. You will know that they used to sit down and yap every girl that passes. God says, it's time to collect your reproach. So I told my students, At the end of the class, captain says, sir, thank you for the tips. That's what I'm talking about. I just told the young guys, you know, like, look, I like what Nchuk said once. Nchuk, where are you? Okay. He said, Pastor, thank you for these things that you are saying. He said, we were not wicked. We just did not know them. I remember those words. He said, we were not wicked. We just didn't know these things. The greatest assignment, in my own opinion, that Christians have these days is to show light to everybody. Like, can I digress a bit? We'll read that Romans chapter 4. We'll read it, okay? Don't worry. We're going to read it. Listen, what we need to do these days, all right, is educate everybody. We need it. Like I said at the beginning, we can't afford these negative vibes. Let me just drop this one. Not part of our message, but it's important for every Nigerian in this season. Listen, now some of you may want to disagree, but please don't disagree with me because I'm a spiritual man right now. I'm under an unction. You know, no word of God leaves you the same. So that lifting you up or is bringing you down. Uh-huh. So please, try not to disagree, okay? For your own safety. The Lord is good. Listen. One of our brothers, copied something Ken Hagin said recently. I forwarded it to more than 50 people on the spot. Once I knew you would listen to me, or you have some ideas about spiritual things, I forwarded it to you. If I had you on WhatsApp, I was just forwarding it. He reminded me, he was quoting something, of the day the Lord appeared to Ken Hagin in a vision and said, I am holding the church responsible for all the problems in their government at that time. Watergate scandal. He says, some of you think that you are innocent. He said, wait till you face me on the day of judgment. That was what he said. He said, you will realize that I am holding you responsible for the problem in your government. Listen, that is true. A lot of us work, like I said, this is correction. I don't think any head of state in Nigeria has suffered spiritually like the current one we have. Oh, I don't believe it's ever existed. See the venom rising from Christians. And that's the problem, because they are the ones that have power with God. When you go to the beer parlor, God doesn't come there. Where does God listen? He listens out for what his people say. Yet they get up and release venom towards the Asurok. Release venom towards the president. No wonder the man is falling sick. I've come to correct you today. Please stop that nonsense. You are sowing a seed into your life. You know I've been saying it. You have only one assignment, to pray for the leadership of the country. God, listen, just for records, I did not vote for Buhari. I voted for Jonathan. But God said, Banky, your vote is wrong. And he appointed somebody else. And I have a duty as a believer to do what God said I should do. So every day, I pray for him. Every time I gather with Christians, matters come up, we pray for him. Positive prayers. And let me tell you the truth. Most of the things they tell you about him, they are lies. In fact, almost all of them I've heard, apart from the fact that he's the president, is a lie. People have blamed him for sponsoring Boko Haram, it's a lie. For sponsoring Southern Kaduna killings, is a lie. They've been killing like that in Southern Kaduna for over 30 years. Some people don't know. It's nothing new. I'm not saying it's good. Please don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's good. Please leave this old man alone. The states that are not paying salaries now, they were not paying before. I hope you know that. In fact, he's the one that bailed some of them out. They were not paying. When they were even collecting correct oil money, they did not pay. Oil money dwindled. This is not part of our message. I'm just trying to get people to understand something. So Christians, be different in an area. Be different. When people are talking nonsense about the government, don't open your mouth. If you don't have what to say, let's just keep praying. God will help us. Our God is in charge. He's in control. No human man can thwart his counsel. Those are the things that you should be saying. Please, I hope you've gotten my point. Let's just read this, all right? We'll close with it. We are different people. Amen? I was saying something last time, which is what I wanted to say today, but I didn't get there. Faith is a fight, I was saying. Genuine faith is what we are going for. I want to just read this. I won't have time to explain it, but let me just be that I read it. Then we'll continue.
Let me just start. I'm going to jump a few verses. We'll read it better next time. But from verse 13, where I'm going is verse 20. We're going to read up to 22. But I'll jump a few verses to save time. For the promise to Abraham, to his descendants, that he will be the heir of the world, was not through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Please, I want you to notice those words, faith. That word, faith, I'm going to use it again and again. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void, and the promise is nullified. Verse 16 says, for this reason, it is by faith that it may be in accordance with grace, so that the promise will be granted to all the descendants, not only those who are of the law. Now, I'm now reading verse 18. Let me just continue reading. Who are of the law? But also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, a father of many nations I have made you. He said, in the presence of him whom he believed. Now, follow this. Even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. Verse 18, he said, in hope against hope, Abraham believed, so that he might become a father of many nations. Verse 18, in another translation, says that even when there was nothing else to hope for, Abraham believed, so that he might be a father of many nations. As has been spoken, so shall your descendants be. In verse 19, it says, without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body. Please follow this. If you have a King James, he said, he contemplated not. That's not the correct translation. The correct translation, every other translation uses, that without becoming weak in faith, he saw his own body and looked at it. Now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb, yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. Let me stop here. I want to bring out something, just to introduce it. This is how faith works. We're talking about the pursuit of God. The genuineness of faith. Faith, people sometimes tell you that you are denying facts. The truth about life is that there are very few facts. There are very few facts. Yes. But I'm not even going to talk about that. Many of these people tell you facts. There's no facts. Most of these so-called facts are people's interpretation of what they are able to observe. Now, notice what I said. What they are able to observe. There are many things that happen they did not observe. Then when they observe some things, they give it interpretation. They now tell you it's fact. What I want to bring out is that faith is what creates... Now, listen to this. Faith creates things. In life, events are being played out in different ways in heaven. Let me explain what I'm saying here. Let me give an example. Let's say Nigeria today. You can see now that maybe Buhari sacked somebody, all right? And the person is from a different geopolitical zone from the president. Now, you can start talking about it and say it's nepotism. Are you getting my point? He's angry, wants to put his own brother there and all of that. So people can give you facts and figures and show you that that's exactly what happened. That event actually took place on the earth. But how does it play out from that point? I'm going somewhere. It's determined by the response of faith from those who hear it. I don't know whether you're getting my point. My wife can say something in the morning and it offends me. It does not mean she intended to offend. All right? But that statement that she made and whatever I was doing at that time really happened. But how does it play from that point for the next, let's say, 12 months? Yes, let's say 12 months. It's created by the faith in the hearts of those that hear it. For example, I decide that this is insult and it is going to end up in divorce. It will take 12 months, but it's going to get there. And it will begin from something that really meant nothing. But if by faith I took the same event and I say, I love my wife as Christ loved the church, and she says to herself, all right, I submit to my husband as the church submits to Christ. And we just declare God's word over it. So it ends up becoming a joke that we can't remember. Why? Now listen, somebody will look back and say, oh, she was just joking. But if he had gone the other way, they would have said that was where it began. I don't know what's wrong with these women. Why can't they just watch their mouth?
Some will say, I don't know what's wrong with these men. Why can't they just control their temper? The story now evolves the same thing, but what we don't know is that in both situations, we caused to be that which did not exist. That's why I say faith is a fight. I told you once, let me just tell this story. It's an old story, then I close with it. I work in an office, University of Nigeria, and we are three people, a number of members of staff, many of us lecturers, but of those who could be appointed HOD, were three. The other people were kind of too junior to us, so they will not rotate away from those of us who were the senior lecturers, you know, senior people there. Two are from Anambra, I think. Yes. Is the other from Abia? I'm from Ondo State. Anyway, I'm Yoruba, Hittite, Amoriteness, you know, we talked about that before. And then the other person, the other two guys, all right, Eastern Nigerians, Igbo men. HOD ship went from Mr. A, assuming I'm Mr. B. It went from Mr. A to Mr. C, and we assume that it's coming back to B, all right? Because it normally rotates. It went from B to C, from A to C, and then after a while, expecting it to come down to me now, it went back to A, and then from A, something happened along the line. There was a complaint at the point in time. They suspended A and put C as acting HOD. I was clearly and deliberately omitted like twice. Fact, right? Fact?
Yes.
But it's all a lie. Everything I've told you now is a lie. It happened though. But your perception is a lie. Mr. A came to me. Remember A, C, B, and B. A came to me and said, this is tribalism. Now, he's an Igbo man. I am not. He said to me, it is tribalism. And I said to him, it is not. A lot of my people were embarrassed because I'm quite well liked where I work. Are you getting my point? They were embarrassed. You know Nigeria? Hey, what would he be thinking? I was the one telling them, Ozugo, Ndo. I was the one doing the, please now. No, this is not right. I said, God, it is not tribalism. Now, should I tell you the truth? It wasn't. What I've told you is a matter of fact. I'm not trying to sound nice. It turned out at the end of the day that it was not. What happened the first time? I don't know. But one thing many people don't know, which some of my close people know, is that anytime headship is about to switch, I kneel down and pray that God spare me. I don't have the time. Many people don't know that. One day I offended one professor. I didn't know. Later on I found out. He said, no problem. He's going to show me. He said it behind my back. He wouldn't say it to my face. You know, there are things people can't tell in your face. They can't say it. He said, I will make sure. Then I was head of my department. I will make sure he's removed as head and the other man is placed there. And being an experienced one of the old professors on campus, he went. Later on, I saw the letters. He didn't mention my name, but there was a way he did it. Passed letters over my head. I was heading my department. Went around and around and around to the dean, to dean, to the VC and all of that. But before I get to that point, the person he bragged to said, Prof, the Olushin I know, you will be doing him a favor, I hope you know. He told him to his face, say, if you do what you are threatening to do, that young man will give you an offering. No, really, because if you're in my department, all right, it's not just a university department, it's a hospital department. Yes, so when you are HOD, you head the department in the university and you head the department in the hospital. They don't pay, at that time, the allowance that's paid to the HODs was paid only by the university and it was 3,000 naira a year. Yes, 300 naira a month, less, 280, 2 something. So you didn't get paid anything for it. If you are in the hospital, if you want to be crooked, there's a way you can earn some, but of course, I'm not, God has helped me with that. My eye is not hurting, neither is my heart proud. So there's nothing more than work. Look, who was traveling with me? Yinka Israel, who was it that we're going to preach? On the way, I got a phone call. And I was going to Nsukka to go and preach. I had to turn back. Yinka, was it you? We had to turn back to the hospital. and go and solve a problem. And I sat down there while a problem was being solved. And police came and arrested some of my staff. And they said I should come to the station. I said, Laila, I know they go. I left there. I went to go and preach. So that is, there was a day, 12 midnight, my phone rang. Who was it? My chief medical director. Ah, Oga, I hope everything is okay. So it's work you don't want. If I ever do agree to do it willingly, it's because you just have to contribute something. It's a job I don't want. Many people don't know that. On the surface, people are shouting, tribalism? It's not tribalism? And I told everybody, listen to the fight of faith. I told everybody, I am a man of God. I don't mean as a preacher. I mean a person that God sent. Nobody who loves himself can discriminate against me. I said, it is not tribalism. They talk good. I said, listen, I have been to Nsukka before. This is a funny thing. When I first came, I would go to Nsukka. I would go to Nsukka. Of course, in the hospital, they said, don't mind those Nsukka people. They're like this. I said, but I've been there many times, and they've been extremely nice to me. And they say it's because you are from far. See the way he... Do you get my point? They don't see you as a threat. What I'm saying is that, my brethren, I stood my ground, and I refused to buy the tribalism story. And eventually, events showed that I was right. But this is what I'm making to you about faith. If it may not have been like I'm exercising faith, but luckily faith. But if I went the other way, what will happen? I'll start telling my story as victimization while I was in Enugu. I add to the Nigerian lie that seeks to divide. You are getting my point? Then my story becomes one to quote. See what I've been doing? Fashola shot Ladipo once. Somebody told me it's because it's Igbo interest. Then Fashola went and crossed and shot Teju Osho. Whose interest now? Are you see what I'm going to say? Fashola was shotting everywhere down. His complaint was the market was dirty. And somebody told me that it's not a dirty market. It's that his taxes were not complete. Are you getting my point? Another man said, no. When I hear from Christians, it upsets my soul. That why can't you just rise above the gutter? Why can't you just choose to be different? He said, what if they are right? I have told you faith calls things into existence. They cannot be right. It is what you determine that is right. I'll pick it up from there because faith is a fight. I hope you are blessed today. Yes, let's give the Lord and say, Father, we thank you. Lord, I yield myself. Just repeat after me. Say, Lord, I thank you. Because you have set me free. Say, Lord, I thank you. Because I don't have to put my hand up for 12 years. Now, I can enter boldly into your presence through Christ Jesus, and I will be heard. And you will answer my prayers. Lord, I thank you. All I can give you is thanksgiving. I can't repay you, but I will thank you forever. Thank you for freedom.
Thank you, for freedom.
Thank you because no curse works against me.
Thank you because
I have been set free from every curse.
Thank you because I have been set free.
I have been set free in Christ Jesus.
Lord,
I thank you because I've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Say, Lord, I thank you because I'm healed. Now, please put a hand wherever is hurting you. Now say, Lord, I thank you because I'm healed totally by the power of the sacrifice of Jesus. I give you thanks in the name of Jesus. As you are saying that, healing power is entering you and is setting you free in the name of Jesus Christ. Our Father, we give you thanks for today. Thank you. From the bottom of our hearts, we say thank you. Thank you because you indeed have set us free. We are free to serve you. Lord, we love you. Lord, we say it, we love you. We love to serve you. We love to love you. We love to walk with you. We love to have that smile on your face shining in our direction. We appreciate that. That's what we live for. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If there's anybody here that you have not given your life to Christ, as we're praying, that's the time you should have done that. Let's just give you a few seconds again. Just say, Lord, from today I will serve you. It's simple. Say, Lord, from today, I now understand who you are. I give my life to you.
lead me, educate me.